He writes the following. Technically, the blowing of the shofar, the Rambam explains, is a gzirat ha-katub. Torah says, blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We don't know exactly why. But one concept that we do know is that it's seemingly a sign. Wake up from your sleep. Wake up and seek your deeds. Do tshuva. Remember your Creator. Those who forget the truth with the fleeting moment, and they focus things that are but fleeting, and they spend the year pursuing that, things that are of no avail and of no assistance, look at your souls and choose better paths and better actions. Every person should leave their evil deeds and their thoughts that are improper. So that's the Rambam says that's a thought. When we hear the shofar blowing, what it's supposed to stir within us. We're going through a short version of the halachot that are relevant to us. A person who blows shofar has to learn all the halachot. There are a lot of halachot about how to blow shofar, and a person has to really know his stuff and what to do in case there's a mistake. When we blow shofar, the mitzvah is that ideally it should be a ram's horn in commemoration of the Akedah, the binding of Yitzchak, and it should preferably be bent over. The more bent it is, the more it is, and that's an allusion to us who hear the shofar, that we should bend our hearts before Hashem. But technically every shofar is kosher, be it if the shofar is more bent or less bent, provided that it's a shofar. If you take an ox's horn, that's not a shofar. The idea of a shofar is like shvoferet. Shvoferet means some kind of tube. And the way the animal's horn grows is that there has to be an inner bone and an outer shell. And that outer shell is a shofar. Animals that have that are that's considered that they have a shofar. Animals that it's all one piece, the bone with the horn, like a cow, like an ox. So that's not called a shofar in halacha, and that's not kosher. You blow with that. That's not a shofar. So guys, if you're going to be buying shofarot, make sure you buy it from a legitimate place. I walked into a store, I saw their shofars. I asked, are they legitimate? Happened a few weeks ago, one of the guys' weddings, so they had a shop there, a Judaica shop. So they had beautiful shofarot. They told me, sure they're kosher. They took out a wad of stickers and they said, we just got to put these on. Stickers that say someone says they're kosher. So, you know, before you buy in a store that has stickers, I saw it with my own eyes. This is like a few weeks ago. So, you gotta know who you're buying from. You're gonna spend. What? What? I can't hear you.
Is it permissible to put engravings on the shofar?
Technically, yes. You just have to know how to do it. Because if the engraving goes through and through, then not. I mean, there are details, but technically, yeah. It could be okay. What? Yeah. Okay. There are many details about what if it got slit, if it has a crack, if it has a hole. A person has to ask his local Orthodox rabbi. But when we're using a shofar for the congregation, we should make sure we have an ideal shofar. Before we blow shofar, the one who's going to blow it makes a blessing to hear the sound of shofar, and he's making that blessing for all of us. So we stand in silence and we say Amen, and then he's going to say Shechayanu, and again we say Amen, and he's saying that for all of us over this mitzvah. Now, from the time he makes the bracha, the tokeh, the one who's going to blow the shofar in shul, we have to be quiet from that point till the end of the tkiat shofar, till the end of Musaf, because we made a blessing over the blowing of the shofar, and we're not done till the end of Musaf. So if you don't have to, you shouldn't talk. If you talk, that doesn't disqualify the shofar blowing for you. It just makes it not as ideal. Just like any mitzvah, if you talk in the middle, it's not as ideal. If you talk in the middle of davening, it's not right, but you're still yotze. So blowing shofar, you're not supposed to talk in davening to say and where to go. So if you could just point and go, that's fine. If you need to speak, so you have no choice. You guys have to learn how to daven. And being that technically you're yotze either way, so we'll have to opt with this b'di'evet over that b'di'evet. At this stage of your life, you got to learn how to do the davening. because that's got to take precedence. But there's no reason you shouldn't be able to meet with just going and pointing and asking. Usually I'm around, Rav Listman's around, a lot of people are around to help you guys, and we walk between you to help you with the place. I try to daven early, Nate's Rosh Hashanah morning, so I could talk while you guys came. But I also try not to talk because no one knows I davened already. And then they're all like, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing, right? So, I'm also going to go, but I don't know. Maybe I won't make it there in early davening. I don't know yet. So when he makes the blessing, we should listen and have in mind he's making it for us as well. We don't say Baruch Hu Shemo, we just answer Amen, as is the case with any blessing that's being said on our behalf. We don't interrupt the blessing by saying Baruch Hu Shemo, but rather we listen to the blessing till the end and then answer Amen. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.